Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to unpack the key stuff from the sources you send us. And today, wow, we're diving into something really core. Thinking itself. I mean, we do it all the time, right? Yeah. Whether you're deep in work, just chatting with friends, or, you know, even playing basketball, like in that figure. But how often do we actually stop and think about how we're thinking? So the big question for this deep dive is, how can we get better at it? More effective, more informed, more deliberate?
It's a great question, because getting a handle on how our minds work, you know, the different ways we think, it's not just some academic exercise. It's actually, well, kind of a shortcut to being genuinely well-informed. We'll be pulling insights straight from your source. College Success, Chapter 7.pdf. We're talking creative thinking, analytical, critical, problem solving, even metacognition and information literacy. The aim? To spark some of those aha moments that can really change how you tackle things.
Yeah. Exactly. We want to give you some practical tools. Tools to handle all the information flying around, to come up with original ideas, solve tricky problems, and basically just build a more curious, thoughtful approach to, well, everything. Should be a fun journey, maybe with a few surprises along the way. Okay, so let's start right at the beginning. What is thinking? It's one of those things, like breathing, that's just always there, happening, often totally under the radar. But that quote from the source really hits home. If you're going to do anything as much as you think, you might just as well learn about it and hone this skill. Makes you think, doesn't it?
It really does. And it digs into that idea of you are what you think, not in some, you know, mystical way. Look at Jose in the source. He's not a pro musician, right? But he spends his free time really thinking about music. He's analyzing performances. He's categorizing things in his head, even designing a video to share his passion. His thinking isn't passive. It actually directs what he does, shapes his interests. The real point is that deliberate, focused thinking. It can turn a casual interest into something active, something creative. It changes who you are, what you do.
And it's not just happening inside our heads anymore, is it? Technology is everywhere as a thinking aid. I mean, think about it, Googling something. It's a verb now. Even basic things like calculators or word processors, we just take them for granted, but they're extensions of how we think.
Absolutely. And these tools keep getting smarter. Beyond the basics, you've got brain training apps, Peak, Elevate, giving you memory challenges, complex thought exercises. Flashcard apps like Chegg Prep let you make your own little thinking games. And research actually backs this up. Playing these kinds of thought-provoking games seems linked to mental agility. There's that fascinating long-term Nunn study on Alzheimer's suggesting an active mind contributes to resilience. But, and this is key, these are aids. You still need to cultivate that curious, thoughtful mind yourself. That's the really complex, essential part.
All right, building on that, let's talk creative thinking. Has anyone ever said you've got a flair for the creative? Maybe you're great at seeing new uses for old furniture. Or you came up with an amazing cookie recipe for a friend with allergies. Or maybe you just explain complicated stuff like biology concepts really clearly. Those are all creative acts. It's vital, really, in any job, any part of life. I loved that idea in the source about method acting for learning, like actually eating French Revolution era food to understand it better. Mm-hmm. Or ditching your phone for a bit to get how news spread back in the day. It pushes you to think differently.
And that act of creation, it's seen as, well, incredibly important. People who study cognition, like with Bloom's taxonomy, they often put create, inventing something new, right at the very top, the highest thinking skill. It's not just about memorizing facts. It's about mixing things up, challenging norms, making something new. Think about writing a totally new ending for Goldilocks, or how Gregory Maguire flipped the Wizard of Oz on its head with Wicked, telling it from a different view. Like the source says, creating new out of old or new out of nothing is how we ended up with manned spaceflight, cell phones, the Constitution, and rap music. It's huge.
That's a powerful idea. Mark Twain said something like, there's no such thing as a new idea, right? Which suggests creativity is more about recombining what's already there. Like a mental kaleidoscope, as the source puts it. Same pieces, just twisted into new patterns. And you see this in the real world, with creative thinkers in science, math, Dr. Denton Cooley pioneering the artificial heart, Stephanie Kwolek creating Kevlar from polymers, Katherine Johnson at NASA finding new ways to calculate trajectories, even Hedy Lamarr, the actress, studying fish and birds to help Howard Hughes build faster planes. That's biomimicry, which is a whole field now.
So if you want to generate original ideas more consistently, how do you actually do it? Well, the source suggests being deliberate. Don't just wait for lightning to strike. Track your ideas. Keep a list on your phone. Use index cards you can shuffle, a journal, maybe even storyboards if you're visual. And Roger Von Ouch, who's big in workplace creativity, talks about breaking down barriers. He says, Avoid arrogance, fight for it, get rid of excuses, and listen to that hunch. Think about Kuzai.com, the digital marketing example. Marketing might seem technical, but they mix engineers, designers, analysts. They use data creatively in a relaxed setting. It's about actively making space for ideas.
That's a great point about making space, which leads to working with unconventional ideas, because new ideas aren't always welcomed with open arms, are they? They can make people anxious, they're unfamiliar, the results aren't guaranteed, like that cafe example, always serve lunch and dinner, now suggesting breakfast. That means rethinking everything, buying, schedules, advertising. So if you've got an unconventional idea, you need to be open-minded, but also really organized and good at explaining why it's worth trying.
Totally. And how often do we hear, because we've always done it that way, it's almost never a good reason not to try something new. The old way might work, sure, but is it the best way? Maybe not. The trick is organizing your thinking around the goal, mapping out the steps, checking progress, especially with creative stuff. It's like building that shed. You don't just grab wood randomly. You plan size, location, materials, budget, permits, contingencies. Having a map for your creative thinking helps move it forward, even if it takes unexpected turns.
And beyond just working with the idea itself, the source mentions a dissemination plan. Basically, how do you share it? Unconventional ideas need champions. You need to communicate them effectively. So yeah, hang out with other creative people. Brainstorming isn't accidental. Schedule time for it. Work through ideas, tackle obstacles together, and then maybe step back, let things gel a bit before you try to capture those light bulb moments. Remember, creative thinking isn't just for huge inventions. It can make everyday things better, like planning an amazing, budget-friendly birthday party. Okay, let's switch gears a bit. Analytical thinking. This is basically breaking something down into its parts to figure it out, to find solutions. And we do this constantly without thinking about it. Brainstorming, budgeting, even planning a date night. Where to eat, what movie, popcorn or candy dilemma. That's analysis. And just so you know, employers really value strong analytical skills. It's a big one.
Right. So how do you get good at establishing those component parts? It's about systematically identifying all the separate pieces of the puzzle. The people, places, market shifts, whatever characteristics define the situation. Miss a part and your solution might miss the mark. Think about that family scheduling problem in The Source. You break down everyone's individual schedule, make a group calendar, categorize time, work, school, fun, exercise to find those overlaps. And when you have tons of parts, like Amazon shipping millions of packages, hyper-organization is crucial. They use ZIP codes, categories, everything's structured. Or planning a big research paper. Your parts are idea generation, research, outlining, drafting, reviewing. You might even build and float that construction idea. Extra time, maybe extra budget, just in case, for contingencies.
It's amazing how powerful that breakdown process can be. Analytical thinking has literally sparked revolutions. Henry Ford, right? He looked at his factory, saw the inefficiencies by analyzing how people worked, and boom, the assembly line changed everything. Cars came to the workers much faster. Or Frederick W. Smith, dreaming up FedEx as a student. He analyzed the problems with existing delivery back then. His professor apparently wasn't that impressed, but look what happened. A global company born from analyzing a problem.
It's really inspiring because your analytical thinking could do something similar. Maybe not on the scale of FedEx, but the process is the same. Find the inefficiency, break down the system, design a better way. Whether it's a new service, a medical cure, or figuring out how to get clean water somewhere, analytical thinking drives those solutions, makes things better.
Okay, next up, critical thinking. Definitely a buzz phrase these days. Basically, it's about making judgments after you've done some careful analysis. And honestly, you do it all day long, like grabbing a t-shirt, then thinking, wait, I might run into someone important, and changing. That's critical thinking. It's weighing information, making a choice based on potential outcomes. Simple example, but the process is the same. Now scale that up. A CEO deciding on a multi-million-dollar investment. Same skill, just way more complex data, bigger stakes.
Exactly. And that leads to, how does figuring out the situation help you think critically? You've got to know what problem you're actually trying to solve. When things get messy, it's easy to focus on side issues that don't really move the needle. Critical thinking also involves questioning everything, doing real research, watching your assumptions, recognizing your own biases, that's a big one, gathering all the options and weighing them fairly, and embracing informed flexibility, being willing to change your mind when solid new evidence comes along. Think about how views on cigarette smoking changed over decades as the science became undeniable. Beliefs should evolve with facts.
Which brings us to a really crucial skill today. How do you present thinking that's informed and, importantly, unbiased? Especially with so much noise out there, you absolutely have to know the difference between facts and opinions. A fact, verifiable. You can prove it with evidence, an opinion. That's a belief, maybe strongly held, but without that verifiable support. Like the source says, blue is the best color. That's pure opinion. But research shows blue paint in mental hospitals correlates with lower heart rates. That's informed analysis. There's data you can check.
That distinction is so important. You hear everyone's entitled to their own opinions all the time. Sure, but you're not entitled to your own facts. Facts are objective. Mice are animals, fact. Mice make the best pets opinion. The tricky part is social media, where opinions often get dressed up as facts or where strong emotions cloud judgment. You have to be diligent, constantly check sources, question things even if you do it politely, like saying a political party's HQ is in City X. That's a factual claim. It might be wrong, but it's presented as fact, saying where it should be. That's an opinion. Your arguments need to stand on solid ground, verified sources, checked facts.
Okay, moving towards solutions now. Problem solving. This really pulls together a lot of complex tasks. And again, super valuable skill in the job market. Generally, the steps involve figuring out the real issue, seeing it from different angles, brainstorming multiple solutions, researching them, evaluating, picking the best one, communicating it clearly, and then setting up action steps.
Yeah, think about that coffee shop manager scenario. Worker gets hurt, drinks spill, line backs up peak hours. Chaos. A good manager is problem solving on the fly, prioritizing needs, injured worker first, shifting staff, calming customers, keeping things moving somehow. It takes quick, nimble thinking. And that brings up determining the best approach. Because it's often not just one type of thinking. It's usually a mix, a tough science problem, probably heavy on analysis, designing a home, lots of creative problem solving, running a summer camp. You need creative, analytical, and critical thinking working together. There's no single formula.
Makes sense. But here's a question that came up. Why bother generating multiple solutions if you only pick one in the end? Seems like extra work.
Ugh, good question. Think about planning that amazing European trip. Everything's booked, you arrive, and bam, massive transit strike for weeks. If you only had plan A, you're stuck, stressed. But if you thought through a few alternatives, renting a car, regional trains, focusing on walkable cities, you have options. Having backups reduces anxiety, makes you feel more in control when things inevitably go sideways. It builds resilience into your planning.
Right, resilience. Life. Okay, next concept, metacognition. Basically, thinking about how you think. Kind of like when teachers used to say, put on your thinking caps. It's cute, but the real skill is knowing which cap to wear, right? When to be creative, analytical, critical. Mastering that is a lifelong process, but it makes you so much more effective, more efficient.
It really does. John Flavel, who coined the term, talked about three key processes: planning how you'll think about something, tracking your understanding while you're doing it, and assessing how well you understood it afterwards. He said, becoming aware of your thought processes and using this awareness deliberately is a sign of mature thinking. Powerful stuff. Imagine reading a really dense chemistry chapter. You realize, whoa, I'm not getting this. That awareness isn't failure. It's the trigger for metacognition. Now you think, okay, what strategies can I use? Highlight terms, summarize each paragraph, find a study group. Like Socrates said, the unexamined life is not worth living. Well, the unexamined mind isn't working at its best either.
So how can you get better at being aware of your own thinking? Practically speaking, think about top athletes watching game film. A pitcher analyzes their curveball frame by frame, arm angle, release point, things they couldn't possibly notice in the moment. Then they practice deliberately to fix it. Or Shamika in The Source wanting to be more optimistic. She could journal negative thoughts to spot patterns. Or get an accountability buddy for procrastination. Just thinking about how to be positive or how to stop procrastinating doesn't solve it magically. But it lets you consider alternatives and try different approaches instead of just getting stuck and frustrated.
Exactly. And that's the benefit of using your thoughts deliberately. You engage those three processes. Planning before. Asking yourself, okay, what am I supposed to get out of this? How should I tackle this? Maybe outlining or just visualizing the steps. Tracking during. Checking in. How's it going? Am I understanding this? Maybe I should slow down here. Trying to summarize without looking. Reviewing notes right after class. Assessing after. Asking, did I really get that? What tripped me up? How can I study smarter next time? It means actually learning from mistakes, not just moving on. It's a constant improvement cycle.
And that difference between reacting after the fact and being proactive is huge. Like snapping at your roommates, messing up the weekend, and then wishing you'd handled it better. That's reactive. Compare that to prepping for a tough math exam. Planning study time, blocking out distractions, maybe changing your work schedule. You're thinking ahead about how to learn best. Thinking through the consequences and strategies beforehand almost always leads to better outcomes. It's about actively steering your thoughts. Okay, last major area, Information literacy. This is all about knowing how to find the information you need, and it pulls in creative, analytical, and critical thinking. Even a simple Google search for someone's name forces you to think critically right away. What's the context? Is this source accurate? Is it up to date?
Which leads straight to, how do you verify source validity? And man, why is this so critical now? The American Library Association nails it. It's knowing when you need info and being able to find, evaluate, and use it effectively. But it's tough. Information overload from print, online, video, audio, everywhere. Think about finding info on climate change, Wikipedia, an old encyclopedia, a report funded by a political group, or NASA. Generally, NASA, as a professional government body without an obvious vested interest, is likely more reliable and current. Being rigorous about verifiable facts is crucial, especially with all the hoaxes and emotional appeals on social media. You always need to check. Who's the author? What are their credentials? What's the actual content say? What evidence is there? And what biases might be at play?
Yeah, the source mentions domain names .edu, .com, .gov, .org, .net can give you initial clues. But you definitely can't stop there. They're just a starting point.
So how do you leverage all these resources to actually improve your thinking? And where do you look beyond just page one of Google? Well, the source suggests being open-minded. Don't dismiss a book by someone like Carl Sagan just because it seems niche. Brilliant minds offer different perspectives. Use advanced search filters. Explore your college library databases. They have amazing, credible stuff. Check out general resources like TED Talks for quick expert insights, Khan Academy for tutorials, MOOCs on Coursera, Udemy, Udacity for deeper dives. Organizations like the Foundation for Critical Thinking are great too.
That's a lot of great places to look. But here's the practical rub. You need a system for managing all that information. You can find the best stuff, have the best ideas, but if it's all just a jumbled mess, you'll feel overwhelmed, like trying to order from a menu the size of a phone book. The source says it perfectly. The best idea management system is the one that gets used. It has to fit you.
Absolutely. And the practical side matters. Dealing with different formats, digital files, printouts, and definitely tackling clutter, physical and digital. Clutter seriously hinders creativity and focus. The source suggests a simple, consistent labeling system, a naming protocol for your digital files. No more notes, final, really final version 2, using tools like Evernote, or even just a simple spreadsheet in Google Docs to track sources, article title, author, URL, key points can save you so much time and keep everything organized.
When you boil it all down, every single career needs thinkers. Real thinkers, nurses figuring out the best way to communicate with anxious patients, teachers juggling diverse student needs, lawyers weighing complex consequences, chefs balancing food costs and profits. The people who truly succeed in any field are the ones who consistently think beyond the ordinary limits or expectations. They're applying these creative, analytical, critical skills day in, day out. Wow. Okay, that was a really comprehensive look at thinking. We covered a lot of ground. It really drives home that thinking isn't just passive background noise. It's an active, adaptable skill. It literally shapes who we are, what we can do. Maybe understanding these different modes changes how you even see your own thought process.
I think it does. Because as we've seen, thinking is never truly passive, is it? It's a skill you can actively develop. The real power isn't just in what you know. It's in how you interact with information, how you spark new ideas, how consciously you decide to shape your own thinking, to learn and adapt. Your mind, it's your most powerful tool. Learning to use it better, that's a lifelong project, maybe the most important one there is.
That's a fantastic thought to end on. Yeah. So for your own exploration this week, try picking just one thing we talked about, maybe creative brainstorming or analyzing sources critically, or just paying attention to your own thinking with metacognition. Apply it deliberately. See what happens. Keep thinking, keep exploring, and keep diving deep into the amazing world inside your own head.